Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday. Steelers, Cowboys tonight. Football season is back live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. I don't know if we can top yesterday's show with Jimmy Johnson and Nick Wright. We will give it a valiant effort, I promise you. It is great to be here today, and Alex Curry again joining us. Joy Taylor coming back from Italy, I imagine, Saturday night, full of wine and fun and, you know, whatever Italy provides. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you doing today, Colin?
I feel great because football is officially back.
It does feel that way.
Yes.
Yep.
Fox, Steelers, Cowboys. So we start with this. The NFL season officially starts tonight. Kansas City, the Chiefs, are the Super Bowl favorite. I do believe they're one of seven or eight teams, maybe one or two more, that should be discussed. Are they the best team in football? No, Tampa is, but it is hard to repeat. I think Buffalo and Baltimore will give Kansas City everything they can handle. I think the Chargers in their own division will give Kansas City everything they can handle. I think Seattle and Green Bay, Rams, San Francisco, there's a lot of good football teams. The bottom of the NFL stinks, but it's very small, and the top is fantastic, and Kansas City's got a lot to get through. There will be discussions this year. Oh, there will be discussions. Patrick Mahomes should already be a Hall of Famer. Oh, boy. He's 161st in passing yards, 121st in passing touchdowns, 113 in wins. He's not a Hall of Famer yet. He's just really talented. The most remarkable thing I've ever seen in the last decade in the NFL is Andrew Luck walking into this league with no support. Bad GM, wrong head coach, horrible roster, no defense, no running game, worst O-line in the league. He won 11 games, three straight years. I don't think Patrick Mahomes could do that. Patrick Mahomes could not win in the Big 12 because he didn't have the support group. And that's my story today. We do not give support groups enough credit. Magic Johnson's been in 30% more NBA finals than Michael Jordan. And Michael's the best, right? But Michael had to fight through coaches, his GM, weird teammates. Magic got the best owner in the NBA his entire career, and he got Kareem for a decade. Anytime Magic faced a little crisis, like year two, had to fire a coach, little injury, the tragic Johnson finals, he could always rely on Kareem, the best owner, then there's Worthy, Byron Scott. Quarterbacks are a lot like movie stars. They get all the attention and most of the money. But it's really about the writing. Marlon Brando's considered the greatest actor ever. He's been in six or seven legendary films, but had twice as many that didn't do anything. Why? Because the script wasn't as good. If it was all about the actor, then Marlon Brando would have been in 30 films and they all would have been wonderful. He was in about six thinkers. Tom Hanks, there's a reason he always loves to work with Spielberg. Because sometimes he hasn't and the movies aren't as good. You watch The Terminal or Larry Crown? If it was just about Tom Hanks, he would never be in a movie that was a stinker. We do this all the time. I love Magic. But every professional athlete's career, there'll be a crisis. But Magic always had Jerry Buss and Kareem and Worthy. Patrick Mahomes has yet to face crisis. You folks gave Aaron Rodgers 9 Super Bowls after he won the first. Big Ben got there his first year. You had him better than Brady and Manning. He never was. Dan Marino, first year of Super Bowl. You thought he'd get to 8 more. I love Mahomes. I think he's amazing. But the reason he's going to be a Hall of Famer and the reason he's going to be amazing is the Hunt family. Brett Veach, the GM, and Andy Reid. He's got the best tight end, the fastest receiver. In a single season, they totally rebuilt the offensive line. Do you think if Patrick Mahomes played under Doug Marrone in Jacksonville the last 3 years, you'd be calling him better than Brady? What if he was in the NFC West and had his college coach, Cliff Kingsbury, and had to go up against Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson twice a year, or Stafford now and McVay or Kyle Shanahan? He wouldn't even be the best quarterback in that division, in your opinion. I love Mahomes, but we do this all the time. Players, movie stars have a couple of good hits. Oh, they're going to be Hanks. They're going to be Denzel. They're going to be Brady. I mean, as much as I love Tom Brady, the greatest thing he ever did was in Tampa. A losing culture, a losing franchise, a GM nobody knew, an offensive line that needed work. And in 6 months, they were easily the best football team in the world. Anytime he had an issue, a crisis in New England, Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, a great defense, that's not to say he doesn't deserve credit. Go ask Baker Mayfield the difference between Freddie Kitchens and Kevin Stefanski. If he still had Freddie Kitchens, he would not get a new contract. With Kevin Stefanski, he will. Go ask Jared Goff. I don't think he's Mahomes. He couldn't play a lick with his first coach. Jared Goff got a lot of money because of his second head coach. We do this all the time. Here's what we know about Mahomes. He's super talented. He's only a 3-year starter. He's yet to beat Brady in the playoffs. He's had a few early injuries. And a lot of his credit is the supporting cast. I say this all the time. Judge everybody in crisis too. Now, crisis is harder. But the only time I've seen Mahomes in crisis in his career was in the Super Bowl this past year when he lost his left tackle and he was awful. 52 passer rating, 50 attempts completed less than 25, no touchdowns and 2 picks. It's amazing what just missing a left tackle. He had Travis Kelce, had Tyreek Hill, had his defense, had Andy Reid, had the GM. Missing a left tackle, he was awful. And outplayed by Garoppolo for 3 quarters of his first Super Bowl. Mahomes would, of course, admit this. He's not arrogant. He would admit it. But you had Marino and Big Ben and Aaron Rodgers. You had them all in multiple Super Bowls. How about a new rule on this show? We give the supporting cast for movie stars and quarterbacks and NBA stars a lot more credit. And we also are willing to wait a few years to see how athletes perform when things don't go their way. Magic Johnson was in 30% more finals than Michael Jordan. 9, and he won 5. But Magic always had the great advantage. Wrong coach, still got the best owner. Wrong draft pick, still got the best owner. Tough road trip, still got the best owner. Tragic Johnson, wake up the next morning, still got the best owner. Little injury, still got the best trainers. Support staff. Mahomes will be a Hall of Famer. He's not there yet. Maybe only 1 year away, another MVP, another Super Bowl. But just don't forget, if you put him in Jacksonville, if you put him in the NFC West with his college coach, would he be favored? No, he wouldn't be favored to win the NFC West. He's yet to have a bad O-line, yet to have a lousy coordinator, yet to have a deficient wide receiver and tight end group. Never had it. When the money kicks in, the O-line deteriorates, you can't keep the Pro Bowl second receiver. He'll still be great. He'll still be talented. Take a deep breath. Before we anoint, let's watch everybody for a few years in crisis too. All right. A lot of things. And I can just tell how that's going to play. You don't like Patrick Mahomes. I think he's great. I think if he wins the MVP in another Super Bowl this year, then you can have Hall of Fame discussions. But right now he's 161st in passing yards and 113th in wins. Can we slow down a little? Just pump the brakes a little. I'm not saying you have to screech to a stop. Can you just pump the brakes? Get ready to slow down the car. the Hall of Fame car a little. Let's bring it down to 55 miles an hour. I'm not saying a dead stop, but you guys are 85 miles an hour, greatest player of all time. Folks, support systems are everything. You know what Mahomes is right now? If he was in Jacksonville, he would be what we're going to say about Trevor Lawrence in 3 years. Well, I mean, he's great, but he can't win the big game. What would Mahomes be with Joe Burrow's offensive line? I'll tell you, he'd be hurt. That's what he'd be. He'd be hurt. All right. LeBron James reacting to the media, taking shots at us. You know, we have feelings too. That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
DoorDash here. Get more from your neighborhood. It's the summer of DoorDash and the Dash Pass. Members get $10 off groceries and pet food because of summer. Try Dash Pass for free. Get year-round savings. It's all on the DoorDash app. All right, so I'm giving you everything I got today because I'm off tomorrow, right? Summer still, I'm taking some Fridays off. I am bringing everything today, Cowboys, Steelers tonight. Want to talk about LeBron James. You know, stars always say, I don't listen to criticism. I don't deal with it. But stars are on Twitter, too, and stars are on Instagram. And our president probably isn't. The former one was. But the reality is everybody now can connect with everybody. You can, at any point in time, if somebody's on Twitter, connect with them, and everybody reads their phone all the time. And LeBron James was reading his phone yesterday and seeing what guys like me were saying. Most people supported the Laker moves. I did not. I call them the antique store. They're too old. LeBron came out and said, keep talking about my squad, our personal ages. He stays injured. We're past our prime. Do me a favor, please. And I mean, please keep the same narrative energy when it begins. That's all I ask. Thank you. He since deleted it. Yes, I said the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls are better. Why? Because they got better players. Wasn't like some hyperbolic wacko statement. The Miami Heat got better players. The Chicago Bulls got way better players. And I also said the Lakers got older because they signed older players. Folks, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and LeBron are taking max money. Therefore, the Packers, the Seahawks, and the Lakers are top-heavy. They pay a lot of money to LeBron and a lot of money to Anthony Davis and a lot of money to Russell Westbrook. And those three are their best players. But because of that, the rest of the roster is pretty darn thin. Same in Seattle and same in Green Bay. Tom Brady keeps reworking his contract. So the Buccaneers roster is not top-heavy. LeBron did that, took less in Miami. Kevin Durant took less in Golden State. Therefore, you can spread the money out. The Lakers roster is top heavy with only one star in their prime who's a great player, Anthony Davis, and he's missed 72 games in 3 years. And because the roster is top heavy, he'll be asked to play more minutes. People are conflating old and veterans. Everybody knows veterans win in the NBA. We all know that. That's not a revelation. Don't confuse veterans with old. I love every year at Christmas, I love to go to Utah and there's snow. There's a difference between that and living in Buffalo. I love skiing on Christmas with my kids, but I want it to go away by March. I don't want to live in Nova Scotia. There's a difference between while you go to college, you have some fun, and being the campus pot dealer. The Lakers aren't old. They're the oldest franchise in league history. They have one player in his physical prime. That's a great player, Anthony Davis. And as I argued yesterday, I think his prime, because he's so gifted, was early, and he will deteriorate very quickly. I said that about Cam Newton and Russell Westbrook. Sometimes the way a guy plays, they won't age well. Westbrook can't shoot. So if you notice in the last 3 years, he's gone from MVP to literally 90% of the teams don't want him. Cam Newton may struggle to beat out Cam Jones. He was an MVP 8 years ago, but he's not efficient. And the game of football at the quarterback position has become about efficiency. Complete 67, 68% of your throws. That's not what he does. The game has grown away from him. and this happens all the time. Anthony Davis, the style he plays, he hasn't really committed to his body. It's breaking down more and more and more and more. He will not age particularly well. Some guys, like LeBron, committed to his body, could shoot jumpers. He's gotten more perimeter. He's aged very, very well. But don't conflate. You need veterans and the Lakers roster. To win in the Super Bowl, you got to have about seven great players in their prime. And to win in the NBA, you need three really high-end players in their prime. Say what you will about Milwaukee. Giannis is a two-time MVP. If you've watched the Olympics or the finals, you know Drew Holiday is really good. Durant and Drew Holiday are carrying Team USA. Not Devin Booker. Not Dame. It's Kevin Durant and Drew Holiday. And by the way, Drew Holiday shut down my arguable MVP, Chris Paul, in the finals. Giannis, Middleton's an all-star in the East, Drew Holiday, and a really good supporting cast. All those guys still in Milwaukee in their physical prime, and they will be next year too. Alex for the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Oh, we're sticking with that because the United States men's basketball team has earned their spot in the gold medal game with a 97-78 win over Australia. They had a scare in the first half, though, falling behind by 15 points, but they rallied back with a 20-0 run over the end of the second quarter and the start of the third. Once again, it was Kevin Durant leading the way with 23 total points in the game. They'll be playing for their fourth straight Olympic gold when they face France on Saturday. And France just snuck by. They beat Slovenia by 1 point.
I'll tell you.
90-89.
I don't think anybody doubts how good Luka is.
Yeah.
Slovenia had never, I don't think, qualified for the Olympics. They almost got to the finals on Luka.
He carried him.
And a couple of marginal NBA guys.
Yeah.
Like, there is something to be said in basketball when everybody on a team knows who the man is.
Mm-hmm.
Like Team USA. And this is what's amazing about Kevin Durant. And I've been told this by people who have been on, coaches that have been on this team. You're seeing all of our great players. I mean, this is how good Team USA is. Jason Tatum comes off the bench.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a great group of players, right? Kevin Durant is so much better than the second best player on this team. And that includes Dame, Bradley Beal level, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum. You know, I've never thought Kevin Durant is LeBron because his body is broken down and he doesn't have quite the same temperament. But folks, you know, you all have Mahomes so much better than the rest of the league. And I would say Josh Allen came in as a much greater prospect than Patrick Mahomes. If you go talk to NFL GMs, one of the top 10 prospects to ever play the position in kind of an Elway Marino class. Yet, we've kind of just pushed Durant to the side. Kevin Durant, to me, is probably, and I include Michael Jordan in this, the most guaranteed basket along with Kareem in league history. You cannot stop Kareem in his prime. You cannot stop Durant. The best defensive player in the league has no shot. He's a remarkable offensive talent.
And this is an incredible stage for him to show this. What's your prediction for the final game?
Well, I had them winning silver, and I think this will be the game against France. France is the one team that matched up. I think it's going to be really close.
Mm-hmm.
So I predicted they would finish because they struggled so much in Vegas. I said they'll get to the finals or something, but they'll lose in overtime to France. So I don't know if I believe that, but since I predicted it...
You're going to stick with it.
Yeah, but the way we're playing, I think we'll win. But France will make it close.
Yeah.
So I predicted we would lose in overtime to France, not because we don't have the talent, but France is playing with the same guys. It's the same style. They've been together for years, and they've got some decent NBA guys.
All right, well, we're sticking with the Olympics. The United States women's soccer team rebounded from a heartbreaking loss in the semifinals to take the bronze in Tokyo. Megan Rapinoe and Carly Lloyd each scored two goals on the team's way to beating Australia 4-3. Lloyd also made history in the match, becoming the U.S. women's national team top scorer in Olympic history with 10 total goals. Now, it might not be the color medal that they were going for, but they still medaled, and that's special, and they mean something, especially coming off back-to-back World Cup wins.
Yeah, this is a part of the Olympics where the world is catching up. Now, people keep saying the world's catching up in basketball to the American team. No, it's not. Our team has 10 All-Stars. The rest of the men's teams have two combined.
Yeah.
The world is catching up. Our women are still great, but you have real teams now.
Oh,
it's we were so much better than virtually everybody except maybe a Japan for, I think they were like number two for years. But like now it's competitive. The games are just closer.
Oh, yeah. And let me tell you, this is a special group of women. I was the U.S. embedded reporter at the World Cup for Fox and with this team for 6 weeks straight. They have something special. Obviously, they were a favorite to go for gold. But congratulations, ladies, on bronze. Still incredible. Okay, moving to the NFL. Nick Foles has been the center of trade rumors for the Colts ever since Carson Wentz got injured. Foles recently expressed his admiration for head coach Frank Reich, who he played with in Philly. Now, Reich returned the praise to his former quarterback, but also said the two have not spoken about joining forces again.
This is Carson's team, first of all. I mean, you know, he's our quarterback, and we're so excited about having him. I don't mind talking about Nick Foles. I love Nick Foles. I mean, he plays for the Chicago Bears and haven't talked to him, but I think he's a great player. I think he's proven that. I think he's a great teammate. There's nothing about Nick Foles I don't like. I think he's a winner. He's certainly a guy that fits our kind of culture, but he plays for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, that's very interesting.
But then get this. According to Fox Bet, Nick Foles has the second best odds to be the Colts starter week one at plus 250, and Jacob Eason is the favorite at minus 150.
So that's what Fox Bet has. Jacob Eason.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Fox Bet is right. I would say Eason will get it. Again, if Carson Wentz comes back week three, I'm fine with Eason. But when you give me a window of 5 to 12 weeks, if he comes back in week 7 or 8, the season's over. You're 2-6.
Yeah, he's saying all the right things to make Carson Wentz happy, but he also responded to Nick Foles through the media.
Yeah.
He left the door open.
He did.
He did.
Good stuff, Alex, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Former Pro Bowler, Fox Sports NFL analyst, our friend LeVar Arrington is now joining us in the Herd on a Thursday. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Yeah. The best or nothing. You know, I went on one of my rants this morning. It was especially poignant. But I said, listen, we don't give support systems any credit. There's a reason Tom Hanks has bad movies. If the script's not good, you can't carry it.
And, makes sense.
And I said, if you put Mahomes, and I'm not picking on Doug Marrone, you put him in Jacksonville for the last 3 years, and he's getting his head beat in behind a terrible offensive line with no weapons. Or if you put him in the NFC West with Cliff Kingsbury, who's the fourth best coach in that division, you know what we'd say about him? Boy, he's talented. He doesn't win enough.
Mm.
And I'm like, can we give a little credit
to the coaches?
Well, not just the coaches.
The players.
To the left tackle. I've seen Mahomes in crisis one game, Super Bowl. He was awful. Because, like, by the way,
under
in the
pressure.
Big it's just not even pressure. It's the reality is, you're a great example. So you go to Penn State. Great program. Best linebacker in the 10-year stretch. Then you go to Washington, and you're pure talent. Multiple Pro Bowls. But it wasn't the best run franchise.
No. Well, it wasn't the best run for me. I know where you're going.
And the point being, even you, a superstar high school, a superstar college, you came into the league as a Khalil Mack. Over time, leadership or lack thereof even deteriorated your career.
Well, that's a vast majority of players. It impacts their career, impacts their trajectory as players. I mean, a lot of times people will say a player that has achieved at a high level for so long that doesn't achieve in the National Football League, you know, they're labeled as bust, they're labeled as disgruntled. There are a lot of things that are used to describe them, but there really is never generally a deep dive on where, you know, where the true problem lied, right? Like you can look at a Tom Brady. Tom Brady wasn't a guy coming out of college. You know, I played against Tom in college, and I played against guys like Drew Brees in college. They didn't have the success against teams like us or players like me in college. And the tables were I don't want to say they were turned. I mean, Michigan is a great program. But Michigan was a program that had multiple great athletes, and it made it difficult for Tom to be a dominant starter in his position.
Yeah.
Henson was the other guy that was in the mix. So then you think about when you get to the league, it's like, you're right. You look at Tom Brady coming in and being this football god, lowercase g, for the New England Patriots, but have we ever stopped to look at the overall roster of that first team won the Super Bowl.
His first 4 years in the league, it was Pro Bowlers all over the defense.
So it's like the development process, the way that the culture is at these different places will ultimately dictate what your trajectory is. There is no way around it. I don't care how good you are. There is no way around. If an organization is poorly ran, it's going to be an impact on everybody who's on the team. If a organization is ran well, you ever wonder why there's phenomenons? Like, if you go to this team, you're going to be a really, really successful running back. If you go to this team, you're going to be a really, really successful linebacker.
Look at Terrell Davis, Mike Shanahan.
I mean, how many? They had Mike Anderson. They had Terrell Davis.
Because it was in Shanahan's zone.
They had Orlandis Gary. There were so many guys that were coming in. Clinton Portis steps in. There were so many guys that stepped in and had success because the culture was to build your offensive line. So you had all kinds of different really good offensive linemen and mainstay offensive linemen. You're able to run this zone offensive running style, and nobody could stop it.
Yeah.
Everybody was scared to death.
Now, that's not to say there are, I would say, 1% of professional athletes, and I think Mahomes probably falls into this, Allen Iverson, Michael
Jordan.
They're
going to be good no matter where they go.
Well, I think Andrew Luck was this until he got hurt. I think about 1% of pro athletes are so gifted, they may not win championships, but they'll just be successful regardless. I think Michael inherited a wrong coach, a GM that was a pain, and ball hog teammates. But he was also dropping.
Name me one athlete that's ever overcome it. Name me one athlete.
Allen Iverson overcame a lot
of. No, he didn't. He never won a championship.
No, but he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay. You can have Hall of Famers because they overcame and became Hall of Famers due to
greatness, the
amount of time or the accomplishments connected to it. But name me one that's overcome where their team's success.
Yeah, that's
I've never seen
so
it.
So Mahomes, I'm not saying he wouldn't be in a Hall of Fame talent.
Right.
But he wouldn't get the titles. He wouldn't be in the Super Bowl. It would be different. It's just a different world.
If he was in Washington, maybe things are changing now. But if he was in Washington when I was in Washington, he's not Patrick Mahomes.
So this is an interesting. Nick Wright said this yesterday. I thought it was a great line. And, you know, people, we talk, and about once a show or once every couple shows, somebody says something, it just sticks. I'm like, he said, a quarterback can't be physically fragile and emotionally fragile. Mm. You got to be at least available if you're emotionally fragile, or if you're emotionally strong, you can miss an occasional game. And he said, Carson Wentz, you can't be physically fragile, and I can't play with Nick Foles.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, Carson Wentz does need to be able to deal with, hey, we're bringing Foles in because we want to start 6-2, not 2-6. Frank Reich is telling me, I love him. Nick's like, I love them. Don't you have to? Nick Foles yesterday is lobbying for the job.
I saw that. That's a curious position to be in. If you're Frank Reich, if you're Nick Foles, if you're Carson Wentz, that is a very, very curious position to be in.
Ask yourself this, LeVar. If the Philly thing never happened, would you even wait 1 second to do it?
Well, if the Philly thing never happened, would this even be an option?
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
would it even be an option in terms of
Wentz wouldn't be there?
There would be no connection with Wentz and Foles.
Right.
There would be no affinity for Frank Reich and Reich for Nick Foles. It would never exist. This dynamic wouldn't exist at all if there wasn't a Philly. That's what makes this whole thing a story to begin with, is Philly ends up putting a statue of Nick Foles in front of the stadium for a Super Bowl historic run for this franchise, and Carson Wentz gets nothing. Carson Wentz was a large part of the successful run, wasn't able to finish it, gets nothing out of the deal except the Super Bowl and a ring, I guess.
Would you bring him in? You're in Indianapolis.
But that goes back to now you talking about being mentally strong versus physically strong. And then you got to throw in there, well, I guess you said emotionally, but to me, I said you got to go into the mental aspect of what this would do to Carson Wentz. I think it would have more of an impact on him than what he would ever lead on to saying. I think that for all of the things that he's had to deal with going through what happened in Philadelphia, a lot of that is based upon the comparisons of him not being able to get out of the shadow of what what Nick Foles represented to that team when he was a starter. And Nick Foles has never been a great starting quarterback. He had a great run as a backup who came in. So when you get confused on thinking that, okay, Nick Foles is always going to be the name that you compare Carson Wentz to, it's because of a great playoff run, not because of a great season. He was gone not too long after that because, well, he wanted money. He was riding the high of getting that Super Bowl, and he got the money in Jacksonville. But what happened in Jacksonville? What did we see Nick Foles do as a starter in Jacksonville?
Nothing.
Nothing. So now he goes into Chicago. He goes to Chicago. What does he do? Nothing. So the idea of it is, why would you risk bringing a guy that really isn't a starter? He's been a spot position stud for teams. Why would you disrupt what you think you can do with Carson Wentz for any moment in time with one guy? It's the one guy that you say you stay away from. You stay away from Nick Foles if it's a Carson Wentz team. That's the one guy. That everybody doesn't have a one guy, but for Carson Wentz, he has a one guy. Carson Wentz probably has nightmares about Nick Foles.
Yeah.
And that's not even an overstated.
Well,
he probably can't sleep at night. Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I would.
No, I get it. So my mom said, when I was a little kid, I grew up rurally, and there was, you know, everybody had their fence, and the only fence, that barbed wire fence, stay away from that fence.
Stay away from that one.
That's the one fence you stay away from. You can
They're either trying to keep something out, or they're trying to keep something in.
That's right.
And either way, I don't want to figure out which one it is.
So you're saying Carson Wentz, he's got this one guy that's in his head.
Nick Foles. He owns space.
That was, all right. I don't know.
He owns the space. Don't bring him.
By the way, it's interesting because there's a Trey Lance Garoppolo battle, and we joked about it yesterday. The Niners, all their coaches, oh, my God, Garoppolo looks great because they want to move him, and right?
Mm.
That's right. So let me ask you this. As a former multiple-time Pro Bowler, do you think Garoppolo is about what's around him, or do you see the talent? Do you buy him? Mm. How does a pro athlete, when you look at Garoppolo, what do you see?
I see a guy who's comfortable with being who he is, and that's why he has the success that he has. He's not a guy that's going to try to be Tom Brady. I'm not going to try to be that guy that people want me to be. I'm going to be the guy that I know I should be and the guy that I know I can be. And that's why they went to the Super Bowl. And that's why they should have won the Super Bowl. He was not anything else other than what he had been all season long and gave them a 10-point lead, them a two-possession game lead over the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, it never gets talked about that actually he outplayed Mahomes for three quarters. And by the way, I like him more than the fans do. I don't think he's great. I think he's good. I think he's in that Derek Carr space.
He put the game into the hands of his defense, who
had
that's what they were all year. They put the games into the hands of their defense.
Yeah, it's interesting. What you're basically saying is everybody was so disappointed with that throw in the fourth quarter. That's what he'd been. He's not going to make the play, but he can make plays.
He made the play to give them a 10-point lead. The defense needed to make the play not to allow them to get a two-possession game under control and win the Super Bowl. That was on the 49ers defense. You think that the Ravens, when they won the Super Bowl, either one would have allowed a team to put over 10 points on them, to hang 10 points? Do you think the New England Patriots would have done it? Do you think those New York Giants teams that won it, do you think their defenses, this past Super Bowl, do you think that defense would have allowed a two-possession game with, what was it, 10 minutes, 8 minutes left in the game?
Yeah.
Come on, Colin. Talk to your boy. I ain't buying it. I think Jimmy G is who he says he is, and that's what I love about Jimmy G. He doesn't try to say that he's anything else other than what he is. He's been cool as a cucumber. He delivers when he needs to. Injury prone, that's bad because that hurts the image of what we have of Jimmy Garoppolo as a player, and that's probably the only thing other than he can't be a franchise guy. So what? every once in a while, a system guy is okay. Trent Dilfer was a system guy.
No, system guys have been. Everybody's a little bit of a system guy.
There's some guys that transcend system, and you can say they're who they are. But Tom Brady started off as a system quarterback.
For years. Not one year, for years.
He evolved.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
LeVar Arrington.
Give him some love.
Great to see you on a Thursday.
And I love you, Kylie.
I love you.
And I love you too, Al.
I love you guys.
I appreciate you guys taking a little time with me.
Very collaborative here. Love fest. It's the Herd.
Crush that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jersey Mike's, number 7, turkey provolone, my favorite. Raised without antibiotics, 99% fat-free is their turkey. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. So we all know the GM, Brian Gutekunst of the Packers, and the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, do not see eye to eye. But Aaron did talk about it yesterday. He's trying to mend the fence. They're trying to grow together. They're going to communicate more. And here's Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
Relationships aren't formed in a matter of a couple of days. You know, there's time where the respect grows and the communication follows. You know, it's all about wanting to have those conversations and wanting to to be in conversation like that. And we've had a couple conversations and been positive conversations.
Now we all know, you know this. This is not a revelation. It's always been a delicate balance, right? Like, you don't give all players a say in personnel, but a defensive coordinator may trust, you know, a veteran guy and say, listen, we're going to draft this kid. Watch some tape. What do you think? And I do think that's valuable. I do think there's one or two players on both sides of the ball that a coach or a coordinator thinks these guys not only play the game, they think the game. And that's where Aaron Rodgers comes in. But there, I also think Joe Montana didn't have to worry about personnel because he had so much trust in Bill Walsh and the Niners front office. I think Tom Brady, for 15 to 16 of his 20 years in New England, didn't have to worry about personnel. He inherited a great defense. They got Randy Moss and Welker. It wasn't until the last 3 years where Belichick whiffed on several drafts, very few Pro Bowlers, almost no playmakers, that Brady started getting frustrated and I think wanted more of a say and more respect then. But Jimmy Johnson came on our show yesterday and said, this Green Bay situation is not that difficult. Aaron should have a say.
I don't think it's tricky at all. In fact, at our seminar, John Zarneski and I got in an argument about this, or a discussion. He said, Jimmy, he said, you would never listen to one of your players about who to draft or who to hire. I said, well, wait a minute now. I said, Aaron Rodgers is smarter and been there longer than most of those scouts. Why wouldn't you listen to him? He knows those players. He knows talent. You know, he knows what they need. And I said, in fact, I said, if my memory serves me right, I said, John, come on over with me. Let's talk to Troy. I said, Troy, it was your third year. I said, did I talk to you about hiring Norv Turner? He said, Coach, don't you remember? You brought Norv in and let me visit with him before you made a decision whether or not to hire him or not. So I trusted my players, especially my quarterback that's smart, you know, as far as some decision making on not only the roster, but also on hiring coaches.
Now, I think one of the things that's overrated in life is having power and control. I think one of the things that's underrated is having talent and being focused on one thing. I would not want a big say in personnel. I would rather be focused on playing quarterback. If you go look at the NBA and the NFL over the last decade, let me name some of the coaches that have had personnel power and coaching power. Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota, Doc Rivers with the Clippers, Bill O'Brien in Houston, Stan Van Gundy, and Belichick. And Belichick acknowledged this offseason I've got to give more respect and bring in more voices on the draft. I think it's almost impossible to be great at two things. Michael Jordan tried baseball. Randy Moss tried hoops. So did Roy Jones Jr. So I think ideally, as a quarterback, you should just worry about being a quarterback. In fact, if you watch the documentary, what you discovered is Brady didn't have much of a relationship or conversations with Belichick. He was on the phone constantly with Josh McDaniels. Brady just worried about that offense and its efficiency. And I think that's the way to do it. I think Brady only got frustrated and wanted more of a voice because Belichick, with all that control, butchered several of the last drafts. And I will say this. I think what the tipping point with Aaron Rodgers was, I mean, he's a smart guy. He'd always like a heads up. But I think when Aaron really started wanting a say, and this is just conjecture on my part, is I thought the 2020 Packers draft was terrible. That's a football team, Packers 13-3, get to the NFC Championship, and not a single player from that draft has had an impact. Then this year, again, it feels like more of a developmental draft outside of Amari Rodgers, the slot corner from Clemson. He'll come in and play immediately. So I think Aaron would want less of a say if he wasn't so frustrated with the last couple of drafts because he understands, I'm getting older, had a couple surgeries, NFC's loaded at the top, I got to get through Brady. You got to get me players every April, like four or five dudes that can play and win games. Jay Glazer, Fox Sports, live from Canton Hall of Fame weekend next.